I'm following on a different format. You
have a different format. So we're on Tesvavim and Aleph. And again, if I tell you it's about 12 lines up from the bottom, maybe in your format you can figure that out. Excellent. So Tanya Yiduch, we have another Braisa. And again, we're still trying to analyze, if you recall, Shmuel Shita, that a Balchov collects Shvach from the Lekuchos. Hamocher Sadal Chavera Vishbicha. Now the Lokeach invested in the karka that he bought and improved the karka. And this was, if you remember yesterday, the point of sort of a critical breakthrough point in the development of the sugya, in which we focused on two different elements that make up Shvach, X plus Y. And that's Yitziah and Shvach. Yitziah is the amount of money that it took to invest in the karka, and then the karka went up in price as a result of the Yitziah. And now what this Braisa is going to establish is that there are two different claims, if you recall, against two different people. One claim for the Yitziah and one claim for the Shvach. So Bob al Chovet Tarfa, so the seller owed a debt, and he defaulted on the debt. His creditor, the Balchov, came to confiscate the karka from the lokeach because it was a shibud on this sale, on this karka. And the Braisa says the following: Kshugove, the lokeach now has recourse to go back to the mocher and say, look, you know, I basically paid up your chov, and through your the shibud on the karka, the Balchov, your Balchov came and confiscated the karka for me. Now you have to pay me, and I want you to pay me not only for the sales price, the amount of money that I paid as the karka was worth when I bought it, but now the karka is worth more, and I want you to offset that loss and pay for the shvach. So now, after the Balchov came and took away the karka from the lokeach comes back to collect from the mocher, otherwise known as the lova, and the situation described, the scenario in the Braisa, is that there is Yitziah and there's Shvach. And the Shvach goes beyond the Yitziah. Im HaShvach Yoser Al HaYitziah, which means a good investment, is notel, the lokeach sues es hashvach mi bala karka, from the mocher he's going to get the shvach, because there's a certain payment that he has the right to collect from the balchov himself, and that's the yitziah mi balchov. And the Braisa indicates that it's the balchov who has the, shall we call it, the primary or the direct responsibility to make up for the Yitziah, for the investment and the expenditures of the lokeach in terms of this karka. We have to understand why that is, but we turn to the mocher and we say that doesn't let you off the hook completely, even though it's the balchov who'll have to make good for all these investments in the karka. But nevertheless, you have to guarantee that the lokeach gets every last penny of shvach. So anything beyond hotzah in shvach, so let's say the hotzah was 7 or 8 and the shvach was 10, you have to make up that increment, that differentiation, that differential. Now let's talk for a moment about why the lokeach's first claim on Yitziah is to the balchov himself. And he says the following, that, and I'm reading here a summary of Rishonim, here, a whole list of Rishonim. It says here that mi ikar adin ein lebalchov ligvos es hashvach. So the premise here that underlies this price is a balchov does not collect shvach, which is against Shmuel. Because again, let's go over. Shmuel was the one who said, that was in yesterday's discussion, that a Balchov collects the Shvach from the Lekuchos. But now is saying that a Balchov does not collect Shvach from the Lekuchos. Okay, now he says, if Ein lo Lebalchov Ligvos HaShvach, Sharei Chelik Ze lo Haya Meshubad lo, right, the Shibud was Chal, only on the value of the Karka, as it were, when it entered into the Rishus of Lokeach. We're not interested in expanding the Shibud against Shmuel. Again, Shmuel yesterday, if you recall, was that Shibud that grows. Now we're assuming the Shibud doesn't grow. So now, if the Lokeach takes the Karka, and included in that Karka are Hotzaot, like, let's say, the fencing that we spoke about, to be Mashpiach the Sode, then the Balchov has to make good for those Hotzaot. Now, I don't see this here, but I'll tell you what I thought. This is called Yored L'Sof Sode Shel Chaver Shelo Birshus, meaning if I go down to your property and I improve your property, then you have to pay me at least for my Hotzaot. You have a right to say, well, anything that improved in the Karka is Aroy Ashbach, but as far as the Yitziot is concerned, I have to pay you for that. If, again, the Yitziot exceeded beyond if the Shvach exceeded beyond the Yitziot. So if the owner of the Karka makes a profit on someone else's shoulders, meaning because that person spent money, his Karka was now enhanced and appreciated in its value, then the owner of the Karka has to pay at least the Hotzaot, the less of the price. Any enhancement in the value of the Karka belongs to the owner of the Karka, because that's the Shevach that's called Aroy Ashbach. My Karka went up in price, but I do have to offset your expenditures. Now when the Balchov collects the Karka, he now has an appreciated Karka that goes, that's value goes beyond the value of his Shibud. He has no rights to the Shvach. So therefore he has to make good, at least for the Hotzaot, because in this Karka that he's confiscating, the Lokeach is suffering a loss because of all the money that he spent. On the other hand, the Braisa maintains that the Mocher is responsible for Shvach. So although the Mocher now has a right to subtract the Yitziah from the Shvach, but any increment beyond the Yitziah, the Mocher is going to have to make good. That Odef, that increment, is not part of the Karka, it's not part of the Shibud, it's not part of the Piron Achov, and therefore if any of that money went towards the payment of his Chov, then the Lokeach has rights to get compensated for that increase in the value of the Karka. Now what happens in the opposite scenario? Let's say that the expenditures were greater than the Shvach. It was not a good business investment. Im ha'yitzia yisera al ha'shvach, ein lo elo hotza kishir shevach mibal hachov. So what happens now? At this point, we said that the Balchov doesn't have rights to the Shvach, because the Shibud only goes as far as the original sale price of the Karka. And therefore, he has to give back to the Lokeach, when he confiscates the Karka from the Lokeach, whatever expenditures Lokeach invested in the Karka. However, the Balchov has a right to turn to the Lokeach and say, wait a minute, you were operating on my behalf, you were appreciating the value of my Karka, this was a very bad experiment. Because at the end of the day, you spent more money to do this shiputz on my Karka, to improve my Karka, than the increment and the appreciation of its value. Why do I owe you your Hotzaot when I didn't benefit from those Hotzaot? again, to some extent, I benefited. And what we're going to do is we're going to take these two variables. Let's say the shvach was 10, and the otzot was 20. So we're going to demand that the balchov pay the 10 out of the 20, which means he's going to pay for the otzot up to the point that they cashed in, so to speak, that they did appreciate the value of the karka. So if the appreciation of the value of the karka was 10 and the otzot was 20, then the balchov is going to pay, he's going to pay the 10 out of the 20. Okay. Now the Gemara asks the following kasha. V'hashmuel b'may ukile, mukimle. How is Shmuel going to explain this brisa? Now, you know, if we're talking about a limited shibud collection, then Shmuel would say that could touch on the problem of ribis, which is only, if you recall, in a case of stolen property that was sold. So when the rightful owner of the field confiscates the field from the buyer, now Shmuel says there's a problem in that the buyer wants to get his shvach from the mocher, and that looks like ribis. So ibel okech mi gazlan. If this Bryce is talking about a case of someone who sold stolen property, and now the Nigzal is coming to confiscate his property with the Shvach because of Aroy Ashbach, as we said, is Kasha Resha. We don't understand the beginning of this Bryce, because the Bryce says that if the Shvach exceeds beyond the expenditures, then the Lokech has rights to collect that Shvach from the mocher, shvach minus the hotzot. The hotzot he gets from the owner. In this case, yeah, I would say the same thing as far as I know. Okay, so now we are in trouble because the lokeach has recourse to collect the shvach from the mocher. That's what it says in the Braisa. And that's not true according to Shmuel because it's mechzik haribis. Tiyomar Shmuel lokech mi gazel lesle shvacha. Ve'iba balchov. Now let's interpret this Braisa as referring to balchov. That's the way we interpreted it originally. And a balchov is gove karka from the lokeach. And now the lokeach will collect the sales price from the mocher. Is then kasha, resha, v'seifa. Now we have a problem even with the beginning of the brisa, when there's a case where the shvach exceeds beyond the yitziah, and the lokeach is going to collect the dmei hayitziah, the money that he spent from the balchov. And the end of the brisa says that if the yitziah goes beyond the shvach, then he collects the then he can force the balchov to make good for his expenditures. And this is against Shmuel. Why? The Yom Shmuel, Shmuel was of the opinion that balchov goves hashvach. Right, that Balchov has rights. We called it growing shibud, expanding the shibud, to collect the shvach. And that's a problem, because if the Balchov has legal rights to collect the shvach, then why does he have to pay the lokeach for dmei yitziah? In other words, there's an outstanding loan, and the creditor wants to get that 1,000. He has a right to get that 1,000 from the value of the karka as it is today. and the karka is 1,000, that those are his rights to collect the chol, because according to Shmuel, the shibud expands as the value of the karka expands. Again, with all within the framework, the ceiling of the value of the chol. So why then does lokeach have any responsibility, according to Shmuel, to pay for the yitzia? And this is true both in the Reisha and the Seifa. In the Reisha, he pays for the yitzia as a separate payment because the shvach exceeded beyond the yitzia. In the Seifa, he pays for the yitzia as part of the shvach. But it's all under the premise, the whole underlying premise of this brisa, as we indicated before we learned the brisa, is that the Baal Chov has no rights to collect shvach. So the Gemara now offers two roads, two possible interpretations of this brisa in order to defend Shmuel. Ibois Ema, the first answer is Belokech Migazlan. We go back to the case of a stolen property that was sold. And if you remember, we had the problem, according to Shmuel, how could it be that the lokeach has recourse to collect shvach from the mocher? That's mechzi karibis kigon, sheyesh lo karka, that the mocher has another piece of karka. And the payment of the shvach is not going to come from cold cash, but rather from the karka itself. And here we're going to assume, not like Abai who said we have a problem of saw b'saw, unless we solve that problem with a separate kinyan that was made, a konamiyodo, on shvach. So he says, kigon sheyeshlo karka. So the tashlum, the payment of the shvach, is not going to come from currency, but rather from the karka. That's not nira keribis. Inami, or you can talk about a case where the lokeach has rights to claim from the mocher the extra money, and it's not called ribis because kshakonu miyado, right? The mocher had a separate ischayvus with a separate kinyan to pay for dmei shvach. Ibois ema, and now the Gemara has another approach to interpret this brisa in a way that it will be reconcilable with Shmuel. Bibal chov. We're going back to the case of Baal Chov, and how is it that the Braisa could hold that the Baal Chov has rights to collect Shvach? How could that be? I'm sorry. According to Shmuel, that the Baal Chov has rights to collect the Shvach, how could it be that in our Braisa, the Baal Chov has to compensate the Lokeach for the Shvach, right? The Yitzia Mitoch HaShvach, etc. Lokasha Khan, this brisa, which says that the Baal Chov has to pay for the shvach or some part of the shvach, is b'shvach. And now we're turning to Tezvav Beis Hamagia Lichseifayim. And Khan b'shvach she'eno magia lichseifayim. So the Gemara gives a very strange answer here. There's something called shvach hamagil ksefayim. In other words, the shvach is some growth or produce in the field, and it reaches the shoulders, which means that it's pretty much ripe, you know, ready for the harvest. And if it's ready for the harvest, then we have to leave this in the field. We have to leave the produce in the fields, attached to the ground, because it's almost ripe, but not quite ripe. And the reason why the Baal Chov does not have rights to these peros, together with the karka, is because we don't view this as part of the karka. If the Baal Chov wants to collect the karka with these peros, with the shvach hamagil ksefayim, he has to make good for that. He has to pay for that element of shvach that any owner of the field has to pay for, which is called hotzah. But kan b'shvach she'enu magil ksefayim, the Baal Chov has no rights to peros that are growing in the ground but still have a long time off till they mature, till they ripen for the harvest, and they need karka for a period of time. And if that be the case, they're really a part of the karka. That's what Shmuel. Now, the Khan over here is not the Brisa. The Khan over here is referring to Shmuel. Shmuel was of the opinion that a Baal Chov has rights to collect Shvach, and we didn't understand the contradiction from the Brisa that says that no, the Baal Chov has to compensate the Lokeach for Shvach. The answer is that Shmuel's talking about Peros. She'enom smuchim livitzirosom. They're not ready to be cut down. And they are considered an integral part of the karka. And the Baal Chov has to pay. I'm sorry. The Baal Chov, according to Shmuel, does not have to pay for the collection of this shvach. If the shvach was part of the karka itself, then that's exactly what the Baal Chov has rights to claim. If it's shvach hamagilik seifayim, and we're talking about peros that are not considered part of the karka, which means that the Baal Chov, even according to Shmuel, has no rights to collect the shvach. He's got to, that's the case of the Brisa, so he has to offset the loss of the lokeach for the money that he invested in the karka. And that's because in shvach hamagia l'kseifayim, we're talking about something that is not part of the karka itself, even though again it's physically attached to the karka, and it really needs a little bit more time to suck up the nourishment from the karka, but nevertheless it's a separate entity from the karka. That's why the Brisa insists that the Baal Chov has to pay for this shvach when he confiscates the karak. So by the way, when I mentioned to you yesterday that I was thinking out of the box that maybe shibudim could be collected from the abstract market value of karka, forget about all that. We're seeing quite clearly that shvach is shibud is collected from the heft of the karka, and there's a karka that we can point out. That karka is designated for the collection of the Baal Chov. And now the question is, when he takes the karka and the karka has peros in it, does he have rights to those peros? And the answer is if those peros are shvach hamagilik seifayim, we view them al pi aloch in an abstract sense as if they were not part of the karka, which means they're excluded. The Baal Chov is excluded from his rights to collect that shvach, so he's going to have to compensate in the brisa the lokeach for that shvach. So it's really interesting. In Lamdus here we have two different dinim. You know, ask yourself the following question: is the shvach part of the karka, or is it not part of the karka? And there are two different answers. As far as Hilchus Gvias Shibudim is concerned, it's part of the karka, which means that that we don't say to the Baal Chov, don't touch these peros. They don't belong to you. You have no rights to these peros. Your gvia is only on karka and not on the peros. No, we're going to say that since the peros still need nurturing from the karka, they're almost finished, but not totally ripe. Therefore, they're part of the karka and you can collect it. But yet, as far as paying for those peros, we're going to give it the status of metaltalin, which means that the Baal Chov collects the karka, but he has to pay for those metaltalin. He has to compensate the lokeach. So these peros, shvach hamagilik seifayim, are in this kind of an ambiguous state. It's not white and it's not black. On the one hand, the lokeach has no right to say to the Baal Chov, don't you dare touch these peros, they're metaltalin. Like, let's say, you know, the Baal Chov, I'm sorry, the lokeach hid his diamond rings, you know, 6 feet under below the karka. And now the Baal Chov says, well, I'm taking over this karka. Oh, no, you're not. Those diamond rings are mine. You have no right to those diamond rings. Your shibud is on the karka, not on the rings. And l'chora, here, the lokesh have rights to say to the balchov, you don't touch those payros. Those are my payros. That's metaltel. You have no shibud on the payros. But the answer is that relative to Hilchas Gvia, these payros, insofar as they're still yonek, they're still nourishing from the karka, they are karka. They're part of the cheftz of the karka. But on the other hand, the lokeach does have recourse to collect compensation from the balchov himself for the payros ha'omdim shvach ha'magil k'seifai, which means that that's already viewed as shvach. And this is against Shmuel, so to speak. But again, the Gemara is going to now say that Shmuel is only talking about shvach she'ena magil k'seifai. But in shvach ha'magil k'seifai, we're going to turn to the balchov and say, you have no rights to that shvach. No, so why did he collect the shvach? So the two halachas is, one din in Hilchas Gvia, as far as Gvia is concerned, it's not like metaltel that are buried 6 feet under the karka. This is part of the karka. And as such, the shibud is on the karka, together with these payros that are still growing from the karka. But if you ask me, does lokeach have recourse to force the balchov to pay up for the shvach? The answer is he does. Because from that perspective, we see the fruits as if they're almost ready to be harvested. And that's a different din. Now we get back to Shmuel. So what is Shmuel talking about when he says that a balchov has rights to shvach? He takes the shvach together with the karka, and the lokeach has no recourse to collect even a dime from the balchov. That's a case of shvach she'eino magil k'seifayim, and that's fully 100% part of the cheftz of the karka. It's not like that, you know, twilight zone state of shvach ha'magil k'seifayim, which are part of the karka, but they're not part of the karka. They're part of the karka in that the balchov collects them together with the karka. But they're not part of the karka in the sense that the balchov could sue the that the lokeach could sue the mocher. I'm sorry, sue the balchov to reimburse him for the shvach. So the Gemara is not happy with this. V'maisim b'chol yom v'komag b'shmuel afil b'shvach hamagil k'seifayim. We had many cases that came in front of Shmuel. You know, Shmuel was the kingpin on Dini Mominos. And in many cases, the balchov was tovea karka together with shvach, and v'komag v'shmuel afilu b'shvach hamagil k'seifayim. Now we just finished saying that if the shvach is magil k'seifayim, then the balchov really doesn't have any rights to the shvach. I mean, he collects the shvach and confiscates it from the lokeach because it's part of the cheftz of the karka, because the fruits still need the karka. But Shmuel did not allow, or how should I say, he wasn't mezaka, I'm going to use that word for the time being, the lokeach to get any compensation from the balchov for the shvach. And the question is, if it's magil k'seifayim, we saw in the brisa that the lokeach has recourse to get reimbursed, at least to some extent, from the balchov, because it's shvach ha'magil k'seifayim, and the balchov has to pay for that shvach ha'magil k'seifayim. So Gemara answers lo kasha, ha de masik be kishir ara vishvacha, va ha de lo masik be ela kishir ara di yoivle shvache umisalikle. Don't ask for the fact that Shmuel allowed the balchov to collect from the karka together with the shvach that was magil k'seifayim, because that case of Shmuel, which again was quite common, was the Masik Bey Kishir Aro Ushvacha. Again, we always said that the collection rights and the confiscation rights of the Balchov are limited by a certain ceiling. And that ceiling is the Chov itself. So the Mocher was also a Lover, and the Balchov of the Mocher has rights to collect whatever he collects up until, but not beyond, the value of the Chov. Now, as the Lover defaults on his Chov, the Chov is worth 100, the maximum rights that the Balchov could get to collect from the Lokeach is only 100. And that's called Kishir Ara Ushvacha. That means that in order to get up to that 100, which is the value of the Chov, you'd have to add not just the sales price of the Karka, but also the Shvach. And again, we're talking about Shvach that needs the Karka. So Shmuel says that if the Shvach still needs the Karka, these Peros or Magilik Seifayim, then as long as the total value of the Karka with the Shvach HaMagilik Seifayim is less than or equal to the Chov, then the Baal Chov has a right to clean it out. He could take the Karka, collect the Karka with the Shvach, with the Peros, with the Shvach HaMagilik Seifayim. And those were the, shall we say, the common cases which the Gemara describes as Maisim B'chol Yom. Veha, and that which Shmuel says, that Ein Balchov Gova Karka Mashvach, if it's a case of Shvach HaMagilik Seifayim, and what Shmuel was saying is that the Balchov is going to have to pay for the Shvach, and that's how we reconciled it with this Braisa, is the Lomasik Ve El Kishir Ara, that the value of the karka without the peros is 100, the value of the chov is 100, and therefore the Baal Chov has a right to collect from the lokeach the value of the karka. But it, above and beyond the value of the karka, which is above and beyond the price of the chov, he's got to compensate the lokeach, the yovle Shivche Umesalikle. Now I'm fascinated by these two words, Umesalikle, but let's just spend a minute just translating the Gemara. The Baal Chov, in this case, when he's collecting from the Lokeach karka that's worth more than the Chov itself, and that means that there are peros growing in the ground, which is called Shvach HaMagilik Seifayim, and he's collecting now more than what's coming to him, more than what was borrowed from him by the Lov and the Lokeach. So we say to the, it's so fascinating to me that the Lokeach doesn't have a right to tell him, go fly a kite, these are my payrolls. But the ball is in the court of the Baal Chov, and now he has to turn to the Lokeach, and he has to be Mesalik Le Bezuzi. He has to buy him off, so to speak. It's like he has to give him a bribe. He has to pay him Kishir Tashlum Hashvach. So again, it seems like there are two dinim over here. There's one din that the Baal Chov does have rights to collect even the Shvach HaMagilik Seifayim, but on the other hand, he really doesn't have rights to do so. He's got to pay for those rights to be implemented, to be exercised by being Mesalik Le Bezuzi. Now, Tosus Dima Maskel Ha, Madu Milchatchil Yored, Habalabais Ligvos, Mealokech Sashvach Odifal Dmei, Hayitzia Rezet Lo Chelek, Meachov, which again, I think is our question that maybe the Lokeach should tell him, go fly a kite. You have no rights to collect these payrolls. The Tosas answers, the Gemara Kvar shala bi ofen acher hinicha. Fosifu shalamaskonas asugya shemiduv rapotiki. Uvan mashagovis kol shvach. Shere ze kedin yored lesoda chavero shalobershus. Shebala soda mishalim rakis dmei ayitzia. So again, we wanted to suggest that the method by which we evaluate how much the Baal Chov has to pay is called Yorib Tzok Sod Shel Chavero, and therefore he pays for the Yitzir. But I don't think that's going to help us here. You know, for this we need a Sugi Rapotiki, because in this case, what we're saying is that the Baal Chov has rights to collect the payros, not that the lokeach has rights to say, well, I improved your karka, therefore pay me for my hotza'ot. No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying this Baal Chov has rights to collect the shvach. Aye, the shvach goes beyond the value, the total value of the chov. Alright, so he'll pay him off the difference. Mesalik le vizuzi mi karka. So basically, for our purposes, it would seem that Tosis doesn't really give an adequate answer. He's as if implying that the Gemara didn't ask that kasha because the Gemara thought it had a better kasha. Until the Gemara is going to, based on its better kasha, is going to set up an ukimta that we're talking about a potiki. Once we have this, the ukimta of a potiki, this kasha falls off. So now the Gemara asks the following question. You're telling me that the Baal Chov has to pay the lokeach the dvei hashvach because the chov is equal to the value of the karka without the shvach. Ha nichalamandi omar. This makes sense as a Gemara in Ksubis that quotes a machlokes. Ha'im yochal lokeach l'salikas bal chov b'mos v'lim noas k'vias ha'karka b'menu olo. Does the lokeach have rights to get rid of the Baal Chov and pay him up so that the karka remains in his possession? Lamandi Omar, according to Mandi Omar, the Islay Zuzi Lilokeach, even if the lokeach has cash, Lo Motzi Mesalik Le Baal Chov, he does not have the legal rights to force the Baal Chov to give up on his rights as a Baal Chov. So what happens is there's a battle here between the Lokeach and the Baal Chov. The Lokeach is not keen on giving up his karka. The Baal Chov is very keen on collecting his karka. And one man the other says the ball is in the court of the Baal Chov. The Lokeach does not have the rights to buy him off and pay with currency. Is Shapir, now we understand why the Baal Chov has to pay the Lokeach the Dmei HaShvach in order to be Mesalik the Shvach from the Karka. Because if the Baal Chov wants to collect Karka, the Lokeach has no veto power. Elamand Yomaki Islay Zuzi Lokeach is Motzi Mesalik the Baal Chov. According to this Shita in Masechet Ksubis, that the Lokeach, if he has currency, he can buy off the Baal Chov and stave him off by retaining ownership on the Karka, is now we're in trouble. Why does the Baal Chov collect the entire Karka with the Shvach and pay the Lokeach for the Dmei HaShvach? Name a lay. Doesn't the Lokeach have a right to tell him to fly a kite? That Ilu Havisli Zuzi. Interesting. The Gemara is saying, not that we're talking about a case where the Lokeach has the cash, but he has a right to claim that if I would have the cash, I could get rid of you and remove your shibud from the entire karka. And the karka would remain in my reshus. Is Hashta the Lesli Zuzi. Now that I don't have the wherewithal, I don't have the mos to pay up your chov, is al tishalim li es dmei hashvach havli garba di ara bi ara shir shivche. I don't have mos to pay you up for the chov. Don't pay me the dmei hashvach, but rather what? I think finally the Gemara is saying that we should cut up the karka. See, this is something that I was thinking about the whole time, but I rejected it based on the Gemara that we studied today. The Gemara is not operating with that. But now the Gemara is actually taking this skeleton out of the closet. That the Lokeach has rights to say to the Mocher, don't take the entire karka from north to south. Let's cut it up into pieces. And one piece of the karka will be left in my rishus, says the Lokeach, to correspond to the increment between the value of the karka yesterday and the shvach of today. So let's say the karka was worth 100, and now it's worth 120 together with the peros. Says the Lokeach to the Balchov, let's cut up my karka, which is your karka, right now you have a shiva you're collecting, into five sections. And you'll collect four out of the five. Karka sells for 100. We'll board up, you know, we'll put up borderline, you know, blockages on one fifth of the karka. And that fifth of the karka is worth 20, which is exactly the value of the shvach of the karka. Let's see if that fits into the language of the Gemara. Havli garba di ara. I guess garba means one-fifth in this case of our scenario. Meaning, give me a section of the karka. Kishir shvache. Which is valued on the market the equivalent of the peros. And again, in theory, the Lokeach could have bought off the Balchov completely from this karka if he had money in his pocket. He doesn't have money in his pocket, so the Balchov would collect his chov from the karka. Fine, but why are you going to collect the karka to the tune of 120 when you only have rights to collect 100 out of the 120? Leave me that piece of karka, the increment from 100 to 120. So Gemara says, no, Achamai Askinon, we're talking about an unusual case, Kigon Sha'asa'o Apotiki. Yomar Lote, Amalei, Lote, Yehelecha Piron, Ela Mizu. Now, usually Apotiki is created by the Love, but here I think, yes, the Love, Baruch Hashem. Because I didn't know Asa'o, who are we describing here? And the answer is, we're describing the Lova. The Lova says to the Balchov that I'm borrowing money from you, and you will collect your chov from this singled out piece of karka. In this context of apotiki, the Lokeach loses out. When the karka is only b'toras shibud, we're going to, at least according to one manyan, we're going to give the Lokeach two options. One option is that he could buy off the karka by paying the chov. But not so in a case of apotiki. The Lokeach could not be misalikim b'zuze. The Balchov has rights to this karka through what's called an apotiki. But wait a second. Okay, it's an apotiki. But still, the Balchov has no rights to Shvach. Because we're talking about Shvach HaMagil Ksefayim, correct? Forget about Shvach HaMagil Ksefayim. the karka is worth more than the chol. So that increment is outside the purview of the rights of the balchov to collect this karka. So what if it's an apotiki? Ah, the Gemara's kash about before apotiki was, let the lokeach buy off the balchov, give him cash, and maintain his cling to his ownership on the karka. But lo yitzur, if we came up with a scenario in which lokeach would certainly have no rights to buy off the balchov, then the whole kash of the Gemara would go down the tubes. Then clearly, the balchov would collect the karka, and it's kind of like a halacha here of ayorid l'sof sadeh shel chaver. You remember the Tosafos on the top of the omer, which means that now the balchov is going to have to pay him off for any investments. Now, we're talking about a case where the chov itself is less than the shvach. So in this case, what the Gemara is claiming is that the balchov has rights to collect the entire karka, which is called an apotiki, and it'll owe him the difference, and he'll pay it off. And you see clearly from this Gemara that an apotiki has a tremendous power that goes way beyond shibudim. I mean, shibudim are limited to the chol. Apotiki goes even beyond the chol. Now again, we're going to have to assume that the lokeach knew about the apotiki. Because again, if the apotiki goes beyond the chov, the lokeach has a right to say, Vospin ich shuldik, why am I responsible? I took responsibility for the chov, to back up the chov, not beyond the chov. But the answer is apotiki. And it sounds like apotiki works even without shibudin. It's almost like a mixas kinyan. And again, I'm going to add the following proviso. The lokeach knows about the apotiki. Otherwise, why should the lokeach have to suffer because the lover wanted to entice the balchov and he called it an apotiki? In other words, when we talk about a chov has a kol, and there's a way that the lokeach could check out, you know, whether or not this karka is leaned or not because of this coal, we have to assume another jack-up to the coal. The coal even includes an apotiki. And therefore, the lokeach now becomes responsible to recognize the rights of the balchov that go beyond shibud rights based on apotiki. I mean, that's mind-boggling. That really indicates the power of the apotiki, way beyond anything that we ever would have imagined. Now in the footnote here, he tells you that there's a lot in the Rishonim on this, and you should look it up in the Yalkut HaBiurim. So maybe, Rabosai, I don't know how much we could do now, because I see it's getting a little late, but perhaps on Sunday, if it's a Shem Yom Rishon, again, we're starting Bein Hazmanim, so you have to tell me if you're around on Sunday. I don't know. It seems to me that maybe we have to help our wives from Pesach or something. I don't know. It's not much of a Bein Hazmanim here. You know, a Bein Hazmanim for the yeshivas means go out and hoopla. You know, but there's no hoopla these days. You know, it's simply trying to figure out how to fill that time, Baruch Hashem, with Torah study. But I'll just make a note of it here about apotiki. Let's see if I can find this discussion about apotiki. He says that there's a whole literature on this. What are we on? We're on Tesvav Amid Beis. Wow, on Tesvav Amid Aleph he has at least 10 pages here. Oh my gosh, much more. That's on Tesvav Amid Aleph. From Reish Mem Ches to Reish Nun Ches. Just on Tesvav Amud Aleph. That's 11 pages of fine print. And it goes on a little bit to Reish Nun Tes. In the bottom of Reish Nun Tes, he has Tesvav Amud Beis. And let's see where he starts with an apotiki here. Oh, Bir Tiritz HaGemara Shaso Apotiki. He starts with Tosvis, then he has another Tosvis, then he has a Balamar, then he has a Rambam, and then he has a Raivi. Five different approaches to understand the Gemara's answer about Potiki. Wow. So that could be challenge or a project. That's the word I was looking for. That could be a project. Okay, Rabosai. So we'll stop here. And unless you hear from me otherwise, or I hear from you otherwise, I'm going to assume that we're here together on Yom Rishon.
I'm assuming that we're here on Sunday.
Okay, so we got one vote here. We can maybe pull together some other votes. We'll see. This is like the United Nations here. Or
I'll vote. I'll go in favor.
Yeah. Jeff, where are you going to go?
Well, you're not going anywhere.
Right.
Okay.
I'll be with you.